You've heard that saying maybe many times. You only go around once in life. Well, that is not true. Friends, we're going around in another life. We all are someday. We'll be in eternity forever and ever. It's always been hard to think about to me, eternity, because I'm used to things ending. But eternity will never end. So now is my time, now is your time to be ready to face and to meet and to be in eternity. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1 we read this, therefore we ought to give thee more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And brethren, that is so important. That we give earnest heed to God's Word. I don't know about you, and I think I could speak for you, but I need to know now what's wrong in my life. I don't want to hear it on Judgment Day for the first time. I don't believe you do either. Wouldn't it be awful to be in Judgment Day and me standing by you and hear that you were lost? And I would say to you, well, I knew all this life that you were lost. I knew what was wrong with you. And you might say to me, well, why didn't you tell me why I had life and why I could change, when I could change my life? What did you just let me go and be lost for? Give me more earnest heed of the things we've heard. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense and reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Our brother and I prayed in the prayer about Jesus Christ dying for us. And friends, you're going to neglect that? You're going to let that pass you by? And the Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Can you imagine that? One or two things wrong in your life. And you just wouldn't give it up. You just wouldn't quit. And you knew what it was. You knew what it was. But you just won't quit. You just won't give it up. And so you came up short of eternal life. One thing, two things. And brethren, as we study God's Word, please, please, please take it personal. Please take it personal. This book is for me. This book is for you. This book is for all of us. Never get angry with somebody that tells you the truth. Paul said on one occasion, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Jesus Christ made many enemies on this earth. But you know what? He always told them the truth, didn't he? He didn't hold back. He didn't shy away. And we must be the same way today, brethren. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Be ready all the time, Timothy. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all unsuffering and doctrine, he said, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to it. They will get teachers because they have itching ears. Turn away the truth. Turn away the ears from the truth that shall be turned into lies. So listen to the Bible in view of your own life. Take it for what it says. Don't try to twist it to say something it doesn't say. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote that in Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1. And he says here in verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy me. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not, Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, a nation that knew not thee, shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You ever think about that? There may come a day that you won't find the Lord. Throughout our life, we always think about we've got a second chance. Last year, my tomatoes, they got up pretty good size, and some kind of blight hit them, and they start dying. You know what I did? I pulled them up, and we got some more. Planted over. No big deal. Still got plenty of time to produce. Many things in life are just that way. We got a second chance. We can do it over. I read on Facebook the other day where somebody put on Facebook, I wish life had an undo button. I wish life had an undo button. Sue and I were talking about today coming up about our parents. And how much we miss them. And how many things we would ask them if we still could. And let me say it to you now as a side note. If you've got parents living, you ask them now. Because there's going to come a day things go on. You can't ask them and you can't find out things that you want to know. And let me tell you something else right now we talked about also. Is appreciate your parents. Appreciate. Because life ain't got an undo button. You can't go back and bring them back. Our parents are gone. Our grandparents are gone. And friends, someday, you keep putting God off. It won't come to you like it's coming to you now. It won't matter to you. The Bible talks about that in Thessalonians. He talks about it in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And with all despicableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They wouldn't receive the love of the truth that they could be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Friends, I believe I've seen people that were delusional. I'm telling you. People that once were members of the Lord's church, and they were delusional. Tell me, says Wilbur, you really believe the church of Christ? You really believe the Lord just died for one church? You going to tell me that? You really believe that? They would say, I think, you know he just died for one church. I want to be part of that one church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. See, people get delusional. And they think about other things, about why they don't need saints to do things to be saved. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Also, Thessalonians, Paul said this, and you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Friends, that's what we're facing. Every one of us here tonight is a potential inhabitant of hell. That's right. I'll tell you something though. I want to go to heaven, and I'll take everybody with me. I'll tell you. And you're the same way. You're just like me. You're not a bit different from me. You want to take everybody with you can take. And I don't care who it is. I don't care where they live. I want them to go. I want to go. And don't you ever forget that. You want to take people with you. It wouldn't be wonderful on that day if you didn't stand alongside somebody and they said, you know what? Your life was a light to me. Because you stayed strong. You didn't back down. You stood for the Lord. Even though sometimes you stood alone, so to speak. But you stood for the Lord. And you stood for what was right. And friends, we got to do that. And I want to encourage you, throughout your life, the rest of your days, you always stand for the Lord. Always be on the Lord's side. Going back to Isaiah 55, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Wicked and unrighteous. Wicked and unrighteous. You say, well, you know, if that unrighteous man keeps thinking bad thoughts, he's going to be wicked too. You ever wonder about that? He gives two classes, wicked and unrighteous. Unrighteous forsake his thoughts. See, friends, at one time, every evil deed was only a thought. Those people at 9/11, you can rest assured that one day that was just a thought. Somebody came up with the idea to run a commercial jet into those buildings. Sure, that was just a thought. And then it began to take place. The plan began to form. So let me say that to you tonight. If you're unrighteous, be careful of your thoughts. Because it may turn to wickedness. Forsake those. And let him return unto the Lord, he said, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. And it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word, he says, be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Did you know that? Friends, God's word is as powerful today as it's ever been. Oh, absolutely. I heard Brad preach a sermon one time about the seed. And he said, it's not the seed's fault. It's not the seed's fault. It's the ground's fault. And we are the ground. Our heart is the ground where the word falls on. And it's our fault if we don't receive it, if we don't bring forth fruit, if we don't produce in our life. Isn't it? I can't blame you. You can't blame me. What am I doing for the Lord today? It's what I've decided to do. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Call upon the Lord. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. What is my purpose on this earth? What is our aim? What is my goal? In the old Bible, a lot of sad stories, but to me one of the saddest stories in the old Bible is the story of a strong, strong man. His name was Samson. And Samson was born to a couple, and they were told that he would be a Nazarite from his birth, that he would never have a haircut, no razor would come on his head, and he would begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. So you get the picture. Here is a person from birth for a special job. And so Samson was born. In due time, in chapter 14, Judges, chapter 14, Samson got grown and he saw a woman
of being Philistines, not of his people, the Israelites. And so he told his mom and dad, he says, you get her for me. I want her to be my wife. And they said, well, why can't you find one of our own people? He said, well, I want her. And so they went down there to a place called Kinnath. And on the way down there, a young lion attacked them. Samson killed the lion with his bare hands, put it aside. Didn't say anything to his mother and dad what he'd done. We're on the way. Later on, he went back down there to see her again, and he stopped by to see the carcass of the dead animal. In this carcass, bees had built a hive. So he ate of the honey from that. And went on down. And so he told that they was having this 7-day feast before the wedding, before the year, as I understand, started for the betrothal. So they're having this 7-day feast. And so he told, I guess you call him his wedding party, the man of his wedding party. He said, I got a riddle to tell you. He said, if you can tell me the answer to my riddle, within these 7 days, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And if you can't, you've got to give me that 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. So he said, here's my riddle. Out of the Eden came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Of course, he's talking about the lion's carcass. Well, they couldn't figure it out. And so they went to this woman that was going to be Samson's wife. Said, we want to know what that riddle is, but we got to pay him. So she said, well, I don't know. I can't tell you. He said, well, if you don't tell us, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. So Samson, this woman, is engaged to marry. She went to him and she wept before him, says, you know, you hate me. You ain't told me the answer to your riddle. He said, well, I ain't told my mom and dad what the answer was. So she kept on wept before him for 7 days. So finally told her what the riddle was. So on the last day, these people at his wedding party came to him. They said, well, says, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? So he knew that they had found out from his bride-to-be what the answer to the riddle was. And so what he did, he went out and slew 30 men of them, took their garments, took their spoil, and paid off the debt. Went on. You know what happened while he's gone? The woman he's going to marry was given to his best man. Okay? So in time, in chapter 15, he went back. He's going to go back and get this woman he thought was his wife. He said, I'll go to her. But her father said, whoa, now. You can't go into her. He said, why, you just going to give her to your best man? So that's what I thought you was gone. I didn't know you was coming back. Oh, he was angry. Guess what he did now? Listen to this. Samson went out and caught 300 bucks, tied their tails together, put up, I guess you call it a torch in there, turned them loose in the standing corn, let them go. Of course, he just burned up the corn. Well, the Philistines want to know who's done this. They say, Samson, they says, why he's done this? He says, well, said he, his bride-to-be was given to his best man while he was gone. So they went down to that house, burned her, killed her father. So they're dead. So the Philistines was angry, of course, with Samson, wanted to do something with him. And so the men of Judah went to Samson. They said, Samson, they are rulers over us. These Philistines, I says, why are you causing such problems for us? And so Samson said, well, this is, so to speak, my job, what I've got to do. And they said, well, we've come down here to bind you, Samson. That's his own people now, okay? And Samson said, okay, I'm going to let you bind me, but don't you do anything to me. You're my brethren. Don't you do anything to me. And so they bound him. So here go the Philistines to get Samson. And when they did, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. They bound him with these cords. He broke them. And he took a jawbone of an ass. And he slew 1,000 of them. That's how strong he was. Couldn't do anything with him. Later on, he went back to Gaza. He found a harlot there. He went into her. They heard he was there. So they locked the gate. He got ready to go home. He just picked the gate up with a post and carried it out. Put it on top of a hill. That's how strong he was. But then, verse 4, chapter 16, Delilah comes on the scene. You've heard of Delilah, Samson and Delilah? She comes on the scene. He loved a woman. The valiant sword, his name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines knew about this. And they said, we want to find out how he can be bound. Okay? How can you bind Samson? He said, if you will tell us, we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver, which is about $5,000 each, and probably 5 lords, which is about a lot of money, $5,000. And so Delilah went to him and says, tell me how you can be bound. So Samson starts playing games with her. He tells about binding me with leather, and he tells about binding me with new rope. He tells you about different things, to weave his hair in a loom and all these things. And when he tells her, she'll do it. I have it done. And every time he just breaks and staying down, yeah. Listen to this. And this is what, and I'm telling you this for a reason. This is what Satan does to you. You keep playing with Satan, he's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep trying. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Can you imagine that? You've heard the old expression, you about worried me to death? You ever tell your kids that? You just about worried me to death. That might be where this came from. But Delilah, she kept on, she kept on, she kept on. She was going to find out where he was going to be found. And he told her all his heart and said unto her, they have not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. So he finally told her. Finally told her. Look what the Bible says. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines and said, come on this once, for he has showed me all his heart. And she made him sleep upon the knees. Isn't that saying? Just go to sleep, Samson. Just lay your head down here in my lap and you just take a nap. Go to sleep. And she called for a man and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he'll walk out of his sleep. Listen to this. He'll walk out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. But friends, there's something the Bible says now that he didn't know what happened to him. You know what it was? He wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll be like other times. I'll go out and I'll just beat these Philistines up like I've done before. I'll kill them like I've killed them before. But God was gone. See? God was gone. He wasn't with him anymore. And oh, they took him. They put out his eyes. They put out his eyes. Can you imagine? I wondered about that. How'd they do that? Just take something, just gouge your eyes out. He was blind. He was in prison. And then one day they had this great celebration. The lords of the Philistines gathered there that day in that great celebration. And they said, our God hath delivered our enemy Samson into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. But they said, he delivered him into our hands. Our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew so many of us. And it came to pass, the Bible says, when the hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson. They're in this big arena of some type, or this platform, a stage, or whatever it was they had set up there, this arena. Call for Samson that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and they brought Samson out there. And you know, he's blind. And Samson said to the lad that led him, held him by the hand, suffer me or allow me that I may feel the pillows upon the house that standeth that I can lean upon. He says, you take me to the foundation, the pillows, like some kind of, like we would picture probably some kind of concrete support. Let me feel of them. Take me to them that I can lean upon them, he told this lad that led him. And the house was full, it says, of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson made sport. And Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And the Bible says that Samson took hold of those two middle pillows upon which the house stood and on which it was born up. One in the right hand and one in the left. He took those pillows. He caught those things. And the Bible says, let me die with them. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And friends, he broke them. He broke those pillows. And the house fell from the Lord, from all the people that were therein. But that's such a sad story to me, isn't it, to you? He didn't know that God had left him. See, he didn't know that. You know, you think, how could he have been so foolish not to see what she is doing to him? You feel that way about him? I mean, here's Delilah that tries again and again to find where he could be bound. He don't see that. And brethren, are we that way today? I'm asking you. Are we being led by something like Samson was led away from God and we don't see it? And we don't see where we're going with our lives? What direction is your life going? I'm asking you tonight. What direction is your life going? Where are you headed with your life? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? You know, preacher, you're kind of getting personal. Well, I read a story one time about a man was going to write a book on another guy's life, and he says, give me his checkbook and I can tell you a lot about him. Let me see his checkbook. Let me see his check stubs and I can tell you a lot about that man. And so many times, friends, it's just that way. Oh, Satan has so many things to offer us today. I mean, it seems like there's something new almost monthly, doesn't it? I remember the other day what that, it's the iPad was that came out. And I read somewhere, somebody's telling me how many people were lined up to get that thing. I mean, they want that, and it's, I mean, it wasn't, you know, a couple of bucks. It might have been $600 or $700. I don't know what it was. But anyway, they lined up. I mean, before the store opened to get it. We have so many things to take out with time. What are you doing with your time? Do we call upon the Lord while He is near? Do we seek the Lord while He may be found? Or has He departed from us? And we don't even know it. Remember when you was a child, you go outside and you look up to the stars. You think about it. You ever do that? God's up there. Looking down at me. You ever do that? You think, God is up there in heaven somewhere. I always thought about, He's up there. He sees me. He knows what's going on in my life. It's kind of a, what do we say, a confident feeling, isn't it? Remember that? It's a real, it's a feeling that you have that you just feel close to God. See? And you hear about God. These people used to go to church. So many. Old Clara showed me, my sister showed me a picture the other day at this church over in Thomaston, Georgia. And I don't know what the occasion was. I don't know if it's just a regular meeting. But you should see the people that were there in this picture. So many people. Clara got this picture. So many people. And she said, well, but since people, so many people used to go to church. God bless America. God has blessed America. You know, Bible talks about King Jehoshaphat. Listen to what he says about him. He said, he was commended by God. He said, thou hast prepared thine heart to seek God. What now? He said, Jehoshaphat has prepared his heart to seek God. How do you do that? You say, well, that's why I'm in revival. Because when I go to revival, I get all motivated. We come here, we sing, we pray. Whoever's preaching, you get built up, and you feel closer to God. And you feel more like seeking God, don't you? And Jehoshaphat said, he prepared his heart to seek God. Are we prepared to seek God? Do we really seek the Lord? Call upon Him while He is near. Back in Isaiah, chapter 59, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He will not hear. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 12. Ephesians 2. In verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ, friends, died for you. He shed His blood for you. And you're made nigh by His blood. It says He is our peace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That Christ is your peace. Peace is all you got. When you get right, when you start thinking about that, the only thing you got in this life is Jesus Christ. I remember a lady one time years ago, me and Don Farr, many of you may know him. But we went to this lady to get hunting rice on her property, deer season. You know what she told us? She said, sure you can. It all belongs to the Lord anyway. That's what she said. It all belongs to the Lord anyway. You're welcome to. And I've heard nobody say that. They've been told that before or since. Heard somebody pray the other day, kind of that same avenue. Says, Lord, nothing down here belongs to us. Nothing down here belongs to us. It all belongs to you. God has let us use it for a while. God has given us so much. He's blessed us so much. God will abundantly pardon. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that, listen brethren, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust. So many things were lust back, didn't it? We should live soberly. Brethren, do we live soberly? Sisters, we live soberly. Are you a sober person? Are you a sober-minded person? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Do you look for that blessed hope? Has the Lord left you? Have you sought the Lord? Looking for that blessed hope? And the glorious appearing of the Lord, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, he says, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. Well, well. Peculiar people zealous of good works. Does that not child describe the Christian life? Oh, yes, it does. Sadly. Sad story. The Lord left him. He didn't know it. The Lord was gone. He didn't know it. But I appeal to you tonight. Don't let this time pass for you. It may come to you a time that it doesn't matter anymore. I read a story about a lady about that one time. She said, I went to church one night, fully intended to be baptized. She said, I don't know what happened. I don't know why. But she said, for some reason, I changed my mind. And I wasn't baptized. And she said, I've never again felt the need. I've gone back to church. I've never again felt the need to be baptized. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord. But he's here, friends. If you don't feel near to the Lord, I mean, what's the matter? Friends, if you can't see the blessings that you have and I have, friends, I've been so blessed that, I mean, it's just everywhere. They're just everywhere. You have to. Hey, I could not begin to count my blessings. He's all around us. He's blessed us. He's taking care of us. You best take care of him with your life. Come tonight to be baptized. If you are a member of the church, you've gone astray, please come back tonight, confess your faults, and ask for prayer forgiveness. Won't you come? Won't you come? As together we stand and we sing.